Welcome to the Amazing Data Podcast. Hello, everybody. This is the brand new episode of the Amazing Data Podcast. My name is Ksenia, and I have a new guest today. Stan, hello. Could you please tell us a few words about yourself?
Hi, I'm Stan. I am a secondary school teacher of maths of Walsall, which is the town I teach in. And I'm also responsible for managing the data for my department.
If I Googled that correctly, the secondary school in UK is 13 till 18 years old. Is that correct?
It's usually 11 to 18.
11 to 18. Okay, sorry. So I think that this is a very complicated age, to my understanding, especially in the, you know, like this digital era we're living right now. I wouldn't say that I've been back at school for a long time ago, but it's been a while. And this is the only keynote I can be comparing to. And I do remember myself in this particular age, and those times were different. And when I see the school kids right now, I do realize that they're so much different from what I've been and from what my classmates have been.
There is definite change. I mean, I've been teaching for 12 years now. There has definitely been a change in the sort of in the attitude that the kids have towards education. There have been some, oddly enough, during the COVID-19 crisis, a lot of schools, of course, have had to adapt how they teach. So there have been some positives because then suddenly a lot of technologies got developed and people started putting ideas together how to use technology.
Oh, interesting. Can you please tell me more about that?
One very simple aspect is this idea that students submit their work electronically and then it gets electronically marked by the teacher and then sent back. The students take photographs of their work, embed those images into a pre-formatted template, submit it, then the teachers mark it and then return it back to the students. It makes organizing everything a lot easier.
How do you perform the evaluation of the work?
We got the idea from the way they mark exams. So there's a pre-formatted table with all the relevant symbols, crosses, and whatever else you need. And we just drag and drop them throughout the student's work.
Didn't that bring additional burden to you that you have to study the new program, like how to do that?
Well, for me personally, that's where the fun is. I enjoy the challenge of coming up with something different or something new or working around a problem.
How many students and what quantity of homework do you usually need to evaluate, let's say, per week, approximately?
At the moment, it's coming out about 30 homeworks to mark a week in this form.
How much time does it take you to check one homework? Approximately. Everything is approximately. I'm not time checking you.
That very much varies, of course. But with the older students, because the work is more complicated, about 15 minutes per homework.
Is that like the routine-ish kind of way? Because I did remember back at my school days, the teachers sometimes were literally performing the same hand movements, you know, like cross this, check mark this. Very routine-ish way of checking. It was more of the, you know, kind of the exercise they were doing because it was super same from homework to homework.
No, there's a lot of that, especially with younger classes, because they spend a lot more time practicing. They'll be very, very samey.
Okay, so you said that 30 students per 15 minutes, so that gives you like 150 minutes per week, pure work of just checking and evaluating. I hope you realize where I'm trying to head you with this kind of question.
I mean... Ideally, all of that would be automated. I completely agree with you. There is some movement towards it. I mean, there's a lot of sites that do online homeworks, which then get self-marked. They are pretty good. I mean, so they have like randomized algorithms for generating, you know, countless, endless examples of certain question types. Their main disadvantage is that they only mark your final answer. They have no way of checking the method in between. So if you got something wrong, it has no way of telling you where you have gone wrong. It just tells you that, unfortunately, this question is incorrect, which is still a limitation with sort of online marking. I guess that's where we're actually genuinely going to have to wait for some sort of machine learning algorithms to handle those sort of exceptions.
Probably machine learning is not the answer in this kind of cases. Isn't that more of the, you know, human factor for the whole problem solving path was correct, but just one number was mistaken and that led you to a wrong answer. So it still has to be the, you know, human work to check this kind of deviations.
Sort of my view of maybe what the future will hold for sort of for education and this sort of is that you'll probably always need human input. However, what will probably happen is that the human input will deal with the really special cases, which will always arise. So let's say 90% of all the solutions can be checked and they conform to a particular more standard answers. And there will be a few cases where the student's either gone completely wrong or has done something that makes absolutely no sense, where the human input would be needed to check through it.
Okay, let's say so in 10 years, how do you envision the math class?
I think it's tending towards a lot of self-learning. So where the program of study a student does is adaptive to the student. So let's say the student got this type of question wrong several times. So there'll be something that will be developed to sort of sideline and work on that skill, address that, and then carry on. I think that can be achieved with a sort of balance between teacher input when they teach you the content. And then once you've taught them the methods, how do you then get the student to work specifically on what they're getting wrong?
To my understanding, this is the pure genius of what exactly teachers can be doing, then can be presenting the very same thing in variations that can open up the problem from different angles.
This is where the teacher comes in. This is that they can provide a personal input where they feel it's necessary or lacking. Because when there's 30 students in your class, a lesson is 1 hour long. If you spend all your time with students, that's 2 minutes per student, isn't it? And that's nowhere near enough time to do anything. Take away the time you need to explain something, and you're left with maybe 1.5 minutes per student.
Okay, perfect. So artificial intelligence is entering the room, helping out how to provide personal attention to each and every student, to give them the personalized, individualized educational plan and their tasks. Then why do we need teachers for that?
Well, if the artificial intelligence gets to a point where they can provide an education as personalized as, for example, you know, one-to-one tuition, then teachers will slowly become obsolete.
So where are we now? So should we already be shifting to the machines helping us out, or should we still be sticking to the humans helping us out?
I think in the current state of technology, I think teachers will be needed for a while.
Do you see yourself collaborating with artificial intelligence while conducting the lessons?
I'd like to think I'd still be in control of what the artificial intelligence does. So I would still be setting the tasks I'm asking it to do.
So I imply that as the psychic thing, so it helps you. I've heard that in some high schools, there's the technology which is implemented to scan the pupils' faces, you know, to see whether they're focused, whether they're frowning or like smiling. So while you are conducting the lesson, you know, like in the usual manner of yours, by the end of the lesson, when the bell rings, the computer would just turn to you and say like, hey, they were like 20% drop of focus once you were explaining this thing, probably pay attention to that in the future.
I thought you were going to go down the route that where they, you know, the minute that they detect that someone's off task, they'll give them an electric shock or something to wake them up.
No, why? Why do you even think that?
I am not condoning this, by the way. I'm just hypothesizing about the fact that this technology can be abused just like any other technology.
Exactly. So the thing I actually was interested also to ask you is, in the example that we've been kind of developing, like how technology and in general and artificial intelligence in particular can be used, what kind of information gathered by these kind of machine could help you to increase the level of your lesson or change something? What kind of data would you not mind to have?
Ideally, you would look for things like if there's patterns in what type of explanations work better for a particular student. You know, some people learn better from audio, oral stimulus, others from visual, others from, I think it was kinesthetic.
Probably, yeah.
So maybe with more detail, like for example, someone likes explanations where you use a lot of diagrams and a lot of color.
So, okay, one thing is what kind of explanation worked better? Okay, what else?
Well, I mean, you could argue there's loads of things. Like, for example, some students, again, it's the changes in time of day, for example, you know, monitoring whether students learn better in, you know, beginning days, you know, end of the day.
Oh, yeah, right. Because of the hours.
Just lots of little data that you can, again, ideally you would individualize a curriculum based on particular students. So if one student learns better in the morning, maybe they'll do the more complicated subjects in the morning. Someone who learns better in the afternoon, they do then. If someone doesn't learn well in the morning, they can do physical education in the afternoon, you know, sort of to balance.
Okay, so I would like to go a little bit backwards to the way that we were talking about the AI sidekick. I would like to give you some of the examples of the duties which can be carried out by either human teacher or artificial intelligence teacher sidekick. We are going to have some of those. I will be reading them to you out loud, and I would like you to pick who do you think is going to be doing what. Like, this particular thing should be done by a human, or this particular thing should be done by artificial intelligence, or not even should, but could be done. Add a few comments. Why do you think so? We're going to have 1 minute. So, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one, automate administration tasks, making copies, enrollment, grading.
AI. It is something that is procedural and does not require thinking.
Okay. See the bigger picture for specific pupil.
Human. Because a human can form links between, for example, what they're studying and the world itself and how what they do can impact them in the future.
Okay, awesome. So next one, using other teachers' records to learn records.
That'll be a mixture, I think, between AI and human. I think the AI would do the initial processing of that data to give you suggestions, and then the teacher will then tailor those suggestions to what they're teaching currently.
Okay, that's going to be the last one. Given the new content, virtual videos, digital textbooks.
I think that will be a mixture of human and AI. The one thing we haven't mentioned is the use of virtual reality that's been on the rise. And I think a mixture of that with artificial intelligence and with human input, I think that could potentially be a very powerful teaching tool.
Yay, cool. Thank you. In a conclusion, one thing I would like you to say, for those people, humans, who are planning to become teachers in this 21st century era, what kind of advice would you like to give them, and what you would suggest them to know to make a better entrance into the profession?
I think the biggest advice in the current climate of teaching I could give is do not take anything the students do personally, however personal it might seem. If you just remember that they are children at the end of the day, then you'll be fine. And it's hard work. It is incredibly rewarding. I've personally had the choice, and I do not regret becoming a teacher, however hard work it is. In my 12 years of teaching, I'm yet to regret it.
That sounds really cool. So I would like to thank you one more time for an amazing talk. I really hope you enjoyed.
No, I genuinely enjoyed it. I thought I liked the flow of your questioning.
Thank you very much for joining. I hope you had a great time. So thank you. This has been another episode of L'Amazing Data Podcast. My name is Ksenia. Stay tuned for more awesome stories about data, and have a great day.